Welcome to the View Church Table View podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. You're listening to a message from Andre and Leanne Grief.
Just a shout out to our events coming up. Can I hear from the men? Men, come on. We're taking breakfast back. Who's ever eaten breakfast in traffic? We are taking it back. We're going to put it around the table. So we are having a men's breakfast with Joel Ramsey. That's on Saturday, the 24th of February for 50 Rand, 9 o'clock breakfast, and then sessions at 10 a.m. And you don't want to miss out. And I think our ladies have also got an event. Oh, well done, guys. I think they put that off. Let's hear it for the guys. Come on.
Hello, there we go. That is sabotage. Can I hear it from all the girls in the house? Woo! We are having our ladies' evening on the 26th, on the Monday evening. Girls, you don't want to miss out. Seriously, we've got Savannah Ramsey coming. She is phenomenal. She's got an amazing testimony. She preaches next level. Stunning, stunning girl. Get your ticket if you haven't already. It's 30 Rand. We're going to have a cocktail dinner. I shouldn't say a dinner. It's more of a snack and drinks. But it's really going to be great. You don't want to miss out. And what we are doing, because we've had a bit of issues with catering in the past, is we are asking you guys to buy your tickets by the 21st. So ticket sales are going to close on the 21st of Feb. So if you haven't bought your ticket, please, this is one you don't want to miss. You can buy it after the service at the Next Step Lounge. The resource table, sorry.
Well, out the doors, we've got a table for science. Yeah. So that's 30 Rand, hey?
It's 30 Rand.
But guys, we're taking breakfast back for 50. That's what I'm saying. And John Savannah are originally from Brisbane, Australia. And last time we had them, we saw 200 people acknowledge that they were healed. So we're expecting an amazing weekend. They'll be with us on Friday night for View City, Saturday morning, across our service on Saturday, and then Monday night. What we're going to quickly do is we are going to kick off where we're just going to take some tips on what you guys think we should be expecting from marriage. So I thought I was getting a pen. Did they only give you a pen?
I got both pens.
Okay, they got both pens. So what I want to do is just a shout out from you guys. What do you guys think we should expect from marriage? Guys, any shout out? What should I write down? I'm going to write a list and just throw it in a box. Matt, what do you think? What are you expecting from marriage, bro?
From a wife.
Well, from your wife, you know what I mean? What are you expecting from your wife, Matt? Hey? Matt says food. Okay, I'm going to write that down. Okay?
Louise, what are you looking for from your husband? Ideal characteristic in a husband.
So I've thrown food in there, yeah?
He's perfect already.
I think he already provides food. He does. He does good. But okay, what are you expecting, Louise?
Okay, yeah, someone who gives quality time.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so any other guys, shout out what you're expecting from your spouse if you're not married yet, one day when you're married or right now even, what are you expecting? Anyone give me a shout out? No? Say it again. Love and respect. Listen, that guy is just trying to win points there. Anyway,
I'm going to write down excellent dishwashing skills.
Romantic. That's what Leanne, I heard romantic. I think Matt said, wash my clothes and my socks. I think he's ironing. Okay, that's from Graham. I think he's still waiting for that to happen. Anyway, and that's the truth. Anyone? Don't worry, I'm waiting for the same thing, Graham. So it's in my box. Anyone else? Come on, guys. Somebody laugh at my jokes. Okay. Every guy's dream.
Jason? Okay. Communication.
Jason's winning points, yeah. Anyway. So you wanted communication? So anyone else? Come on.
From the ladies? Babies. Lots of babies.
Babies. Oh, my hat. You know what's crazy is Leanne asked me, so do you think we've had enough children? I'm like, yes, no. So what did you say, bro? What did you say? Okay. I'll say that. Okay. Okay. Great. I got that. Any last requests in the box? Come on. Which of the ladies want your man to earn a lot of money? Hey?
Zelda's.
Okay. That's a bit of pressure there. Okay. Which of the guys want their wives to earn a lot of money? Okay, cool. That's me. My wife's a doctor. Jesus, tick. Okay, who wants the ultimate home for their spouse to provide the ultimate house? Hey, Zoe. Okay, cool. Pressure again. Okay, so Zoe, that's a good, like, an ultimate house. Anything else? You want your wife to watch sport. Just a side note, when Leanne and I started dating, the Rugby World Cup was on, 2007, and she totally got into the Rugby World Cup, and then Soccer World Cup came, and then she got into Soccer World Cup.
I'm competitive, and I like sport. You're just lucky.
No, that just shows my leadership on my life. What do you think, guys? But still to this day, Dino can't get Kelly to watch rugby or soccer. Anyway, I was putting it out there. So, and I've always sort of brought that up with him. Anyway, just showing leadership. So what sport? Okay, cool. Okay. So let's put that aside. I think we've got enough stuff in that box. You know what I mean? I think we should just put it away. You guys agree? Stop thinking about it? Okay.
Cool. So Andre and I have a few little tips we want to share with you guys, and actually more maybe a bit of a revelation that we've got about relationships, because it's Valentine's week, and so that's obviously what we're talking about. And we've been listening to a series by Andy Stanley on what happy couples do. That's what he's called the series. I want to encourage you guys, if you enjoy tonight, go and you can get hold of the podcasts. It's pretty easy, but it's been a really challenging series. Just so you know, disclaimer, that's where we've got a lot of this from.
I'm joking. For me, actually. Yeah.
For him. He always steals info off the internet, hey? I put out the disclaimers. There we go. But yeah, just to start off, I'm going to make a statement that I believe you might not at first, but I'm going to say that every person who enters a serious relationship, okay, so I'm talking about an engagement or a marriage. I'm saying that every person who enters a serious relationship has an invisible box filled with hopes and dreams and a vision for their relationship. You guys with me? You might not be aware of it, but I'm going to make a statement that you all have one. You've got a box, and it's full of your vision for what you want out of your relationship. And it might have to do with money. You might see yourself one day having a lot of money. You might see yourself being a minimalist and not having a lot of money, and that's what would make you happy, and that's your plan for the future. It might have to do with your chores. You might see yourself living in a really clean house where the dishes get done every night.
That's in Graham's box. Taken out the box.
You might see yourself having domestic help forever. That might be something that you see in your future. You might see yourself traveling the world and going on fantastic holidays. It might have to do with how many kids. You might be planning a huge family with 6 kids. You might want to homeschool. You might be thinking that kids are not for you and you'd like to stay single. You'd like to just be you and your husband. Everyone has got this box of a vision for what they want one day in the future. And what often happens is we find that person, we fall in love, and we plan a wedding. And there's a beautiful wedding day, a gorgeous white dress, and all the extras. And we get to the altar, we say our do's, and then we take this invisible box and we pretty much chuck it over our new spouse. And we say, congratulations, you've got me. I've chosen you, and you get to spend the rest of your life fulfilling my dream list. You get to spend the rest of your life making me happy and making sure that this idea in my head, these visions, these dreams, these expectations come true. And we often don't even realize we do it. It's often a subconscious thing. But we go, you know what? This is the one I waited for. This is the one God's given me. This is the one that's going to make me happy. He's going to make it happen. And what we often end up doing without even realizing it is we take something that's exciting to us and it's a dream and it's a vision and it's something good, and by putting it on this other person, we end up putting them in a lot of pressure and actually getting them into a situation where they feel maybe, yeah, like a sense of stress, a sense of failure, and just intense pressure. And we don't even realize we're doing it, and we definitely don't do it on purpose. But yeah, often it actually can lead to a lot of disappointment. And without realizing it, these dreams and these visions that we have suddenly become an expectation that we put on our spouse or our partner. You might be sitting here going, well, what exactly is an expectation? The definition of an expectation is a strong belief that something will happen. So you come in with these expectations, a strong belief that something's going to happen. And just a side note, what Andy Stanley says is that quite often the expectations that we have are either they're either birthed out of pain or out of pleasure. So often they're shaped by our past experiences. You might have grown up in a home that was really, really happy, and you go, you know what, my parents did this so well. That was a pleasure to be a part of, so this is now my expectation in my spouse. Or maybe you came from a broken family, and there was a lot of pain, and so your expectation is, I don't want to go down that route. We're going to do things differently. But in any case, what so often happens in a marriage is that our hopes and our dreams end up becoming our partner's burdens. Are you guys with me? Our hopes and our dreams become somebody else's burdens. And I'm going to quickly run through what can end up happening. And the first thing, worst case scenario, is that somebody leaves. Okay, so somebody says, I'm out, I'm checking out, this is too much, and the relationship ends in divorce. The next thing that happens is that somebody wins. Okay, because just remember, we've each got a box. So I'm coming in with my box, and he's coming in with his box. So there's two eyes, my eye and his eye, and they're clashing. And so the next option is that somebody wins. And that's often the stronger personality, the one who's a little bit more forceful. Without realizing it, they become a bit of a bully, and someone else goes into submission. So we have a winner. But you're not really winning, because what happens next is we have a stage of conforming. Okay, so now we have to conform. We've got to take the two eyes. Somebody's losing, somebody's giving in, and we've got a period of conforming. And then lastly, what I'm going to talk about a little bit more, and guys, this happens more often than we realize, is that we enter a stage of compromise in our relationships. We enter a marriage of compromise. Now you might be sitting here thinking, well, what's wrong with compromise? Isn't compromise healthy? We always say give and take, compromise. And yes, compromise can be a good thing, but what I'm talking about today is not a good compromise. Okay, so this is a different type of compromise. I'm going to explain myself. But a marriage of compromise is pretty much we get into a place where we settle to just stay married. Okay, because we're Christians. And we believe that God is not for divorce. So we say, you know what? I'm going to make this marriage work. Okay. You're going to do your bit. I'm going to do my bit. We're going to split the workload, and we are going to make this work. Okay. I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm not going to have my kids grow up in a divorced family. So I am going to make this work. I'm going to compromise, and we're going to do this. And what happens in this type of a marriage is there's a lot of scorekeeping. And I think a lot of you here tonight will understand what I mean by that. You know, where you kind of go, you know what? I've done the dishes 5 times this week. You've done them twice. You owe me, okay? You're going to make the lunch for tomorrow. Come, let's just be honest. Anyone ever do that? I mean, I remember our kids are out of nappies. We used to be like, I did the last one, like, shotgun not doing it, it's your turn, like, especially if it was a number two. And you start to keep track, you know, you actually go, listen here, you owe me, buddy, she didn't sleep last night, you're on tonight, I'm checking out, okay? This is 50-50, it's like survival, you know? If we're going to keep this thing together, we're going to keep score, and we're going to, you know? And we actually kind of, without realizing it, we can become so focused on ourselves, on numero uno, and it's almost like this game of survival. And we're so petrified that our partner is going to take advantage of us. We're like, you are not, like, I am not your mother. I am not your slave. I'm not your servant. This is, we're going to share this. Any honest people in the house? And so we almost get locked in a bit of a power struggle. And what happens in this situation is it causes a low amount of trust because we feel like we've got to have our own backs. Otherwise, we're going to be abused. So it ends up lowering the trust level. And the thing about having a low level of trust in a marriage is that you're going to have a low level of intimacy because who knows that you can't be intimate with someone that you don't trust. So you end up being caught in this marriage of compromise where, you know, there's scorekeeping, there's not a lot of peace. You're always on your toes. You're always just, you know, trying to keep things fair. And then what happens next is that your marriage is being fueled by the wrong thing. It's being fueled by a commitment to the wrong thing. What can often happen with Christians, that's why I want to speak to you guys tonight, is that we can become fueled by our commitment to the institution of marriage, okay? Because divorce becomes a dirty word, and God is not for divorce, so I'm not disputing that, but our focus can shift, and we can become so focused on our commitment to the institution of marriage, and our husband or our wife becomes secondary. And let's just be frank here. Nobody marries an institution, right? You marry a person. And I don't want Andre being committed to the institution of marriage. Who's heard someone say, I am committed to my marriage? Who's heard someone say that? And you think like, oh, they're a good person. You know, it's such a South African thing to say, I am committed to my marriage. I am committed. I don't want Andre to be committed to an institution. I want Andre to be committed to me. I want him to say, I am committed to Leanne. I'm committed to the person that God made her. I'm committed to bringing out the best in her. But in a marriage of compromise, we so easily shift where our commitment lies. And basically, when we take those dreams and we turn them into expectations, we end up having a debt or debtor relationship. And what do I mean by that? Who here has a bond? Who's bought a house and has a bond? Okay. And who makes their payments every month? Okay. Have any of you guys ever got a letter from the bank saying, Dear Mrs. Khrief, we just want to send you a letter saying thank you so very much for paying your bond this month. We have been in a relationship with you for the last 10 years, and we just value you so much, and we just want to say thank you for paying our bond. It means so, so much to us. Anyone get a letter like that? Why not? Because we owe them the money. We owe it to them. We're not doing them a favor. And when we get into this place, into this marriage of compromise, and we fall into the trap of expectations, the expectations in our marriage or relationship, they destroy our gratitude. Okay. Expectations in a relationship destroy your gratitude. So when we expect our partner to do what they do every night, there's no more gratitude. And I personally am challenged by this. Andre puts up a good show, but he does make supper most nights. He's amazing. He's a keeper. And I can find myself just, but that's what he does. You know, that's what he does. That's his thing. He enjoys it, you know. And I make the school lunches, and I bath the girls, and I get them to bed. So we're all fair. It's fair and square, okay. I'm like, it's give and take. But actually, I need to be grateful. I need to have an attitude of fresh gratitude. And I loved what Andre said up on the stage during worship. He said, we serve a God whose mercies are new every morning. I think we actually have that verse up there. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And if we serve a God church who has mercies that are new every morning, you and I can have a fresh gratitude every morning. You guys agree? We can have a fresh gratitude every morning because I don't know about you, but I mess up on a daily basis and I need his mercies. I don't want to take his mercies for granted, and I want to believe that if he can give me fresh mercies, I can have a fresh gratitude. And not only to God, but to my spouse. And just like I said, expectations can wreck your gratitude. In the same way, having gratitude can wreck expectations. And that's what we want. We want our gratitude to wreck our expectations. Are you guys with me? If we're in a debtor relationship, it's going to suffocate our intimacy as well. Who wants flowers for Valentine's Day just because they're owed it? Hey? And you know how it goes. We've had a few fights. You never buy me flowers. And then the flowers come the next day, and it's just not the same, right? I'm just going to throw that out there. He used to buy flowers, my dad. So I don't want to offload something heavy on you guys tonight, because there is a way to move forward. God has a better way. And we're going to talk about that in just a little moment. How else do we move forward? We can have gratitude. Gratitude destroys expectation. But there's another way that we can move forward and how we can stop our expectation box from becoming a burden. And this is found, the answer, I believe, is found in John 13, verse 34. Can you guys put that up for me? Just going to give you guys a little bit of context. This was the Last Supper. So Jesus is sitting with his disciples at their last meal together. He's aware that in a couple of hours, he's going to go and die on the cross. Okay, he's fully aware of that. He knows he's lived a sinless life, but he's going to go to the cross and pay the price for people who have, his whole entire life attacked him, that have spoken badly of him, that have treated him badly. He knows that he is going to go for people that don't love him, that don't appreciate him, and he's going to pay the ultimate price. He's going to go and die the worst death. He's fully aware of this. And he says to his disciples that night, he says, I'm giving you guys a new commandment. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And he says it again, almost like to drum it home, that you also love one another. So he's trying to say, listen here, guys, this is super, super important. The way that I've loved you, I want you to love one another. I don't want you to love one another based on fairness. I don't want you to love one another based on what they deserve. I don't want you to love one another based on your dreams and your vision of a future relationship. I want you to love one another based on how I have loved you. And we know, church, he's loved us sacrificially. He's loved us, you know, with an undeserved favor, with unmerited favor and grace, giving us chance after chance after chance after chance, believing the best. And this is how he tells us to love one another. And I think our greatest responsibility is to love our spouse that way. And it's a challenge. But when you look at it like this, and this is what Andy Stanley says, and this, for me, has shook me, and I'm going to ponder on this for a while. But he says, the key to being a happy couple is this. He says, happy couples decide that their partner doesn't owe them anything, but that they owe their partner everything. Yeah, we can give that quote a hand. I mean, that's intense. If you want to have a happy marriage, you've got to make a choice every morning when you get up, because it's a choice. It doesn't come naturally, where you say, I'm going to love this person. I'm going to decide that I owe them everything and that they owe me nothing in return. And he goes on to say that when you do this, we actually end up entering a submission competition with our spouse. It's mutual submission. And we end up getting into a race to be at the back of the line. Does that make sense? And I'm going to hand over to Andre.
So what Leanne said is we get into a submission competition. And submission is a word that can feel so strong, and right through our church history, you know, we've only used that in lines that woman submit to your husbands. But actually the Bible speaks about submitting to each other. It's actually a submission competition. So I just want to quickly, as we close, just give you practical steps on how to do this. So Ephesians 5, 21 to 28 says, and you can see on the screens, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the key line, because a lot of people read the rest of that verses and they forget that it actually started with submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the first line. It's one another. Then it goes on to say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For husbands are the head of the wife, and as Christ is the head of the church. And so we read about wives submitting to husbands, and then we read about the husband's role. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church. So of course, the husband has to follow Jesus' example. He lays down his life. And we've always said, if you meet somebody, girls, if you meet a man who can't sacrifice while you're dating, he's not going to sacrifice while you're married. It's just because the role of a man is sacrifice, but the role of the woman is submission. But it's actually mutual submission. It's a submission competition. But the only way you actually get into the submission competition is when you have Christ as the leader, and he's the referee, and he's the one who's drawing up the rules to the game. So what you're doing is, if you want to sort out these invisible boxes, what you need to do is you have to add a third party into your marriage. You can't get into your marriage without Jesus being at the center. And of course, there's scriptures that say, we love because Christ loved us first. That's actually the pattern of how you should do relationships. We love because Christ loved us first. It's not I love you and hopefully Christ will join us. The only great love you can give to somebody is the love you receive from Christ. So of course, just to look at it, it says in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So of course it means that you start the submission competition where you want to honor that person and lift them up above your needs based, and the way you do that is you honor Christ as you do it. So Christ would say to you, like the ant said, look at what I did for you. I did it for free. I never held anything against you. And by grace, I paid the price of your sins. And I've loved you. And I want you to do the same for your spouse as you honor me. So you could say, you know, God, I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. You've given me what I don't deserve. And I've received what I do deserve. You know, I deserve to be punished, but because of you, I haven't received what I do deserve. I'm so grateful. And we can say, okay, God, you've come into my life. What can I do for you now? What Christ would say to you as a spouse and would say to you even before you're married and how he wants you to prepare for it, your mindset and your heart is, God would say, I want you to take all that gratefulness you have for what I've done for you and that passion you have, and I want you to shower that on your spouse. All that gratefulness, I want you to pass it on. All that forgiveness you received, I want you to pass on forgiveness. All that grace you received, I want you to pass on grace. All that patience you received from me, I want you to pass on patience. All those times I believe the best in you, I want you to pass on that same thought, believe the best in your spouse. I want you to pass on what you've got. But that's why it's so important to love Christ, as Christ loves you to love, because you cannot give your spouse what you haven't got. So when we got married, I said to Leanne, I'll never expect you to be God, but you can never expect me to be God, but we will expect God to be God, and we release each other to be human. And I will not ask you to fulfill me like God fulfills me. And because here's the deal, if I am God in Leanne's life, I will disappoint her every day because I'm an average God. But if God is God in Leanne's life, she will be content and at peace and happy, and so will I. And I'll release her to be Leanne, but then I can also give her what God gives me. And so all of a sudden, I'm saying, you know, Leanne, you don't have to bless me because I'm fulfilled by God. And Leanne's going, well, you don't have to bless me, I'm fulfilled by God. And here comes this competition now. Well, I don't actually need you to live for me because I'm living for God and fulfilled by Him, so I can serve you. No, well, I don't need you to live for me, I can serve you as well. So all of a sudden, we've got the submission-serving competition. You guys get it? Okay, so that's what Christ would say to us. You don't have to earn your way. You don't have to make your way into your relationship. I want you to take that debt-free relationship and apply it to your marriage. Okay, so all of a sudden, God, I'm not going to put a debt on her. Yeah, you're not going to give her this box. So you know you gave her this box without even knowing it at marriage? I want you to take it back. I don't want you to give her the box. Oh. So, well, what do I do with the box, God? I've got a box. You know what I mean? I've got, you know, must I just give up on my dreams? Must I give up on my passions? And what 1 Peter 5:6-7 speaks about is what we do now with the box. So God's just told you, take your box back. I want you to love her like I've loved you. I want you to be patient and forgiving like I've been with you. And then it says in 1 Peter 5:6-7, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for. Okay, so God's going, okay, now you've taken the box back, but now I want you to humble yourself. By humbling yourself, you're saying, God, I can't, and I declare full dependence on you. That's what humility is. That's why people get saved through Jesus Christ. Because repentance is when you say, I can't, but God, you can. I can't do this without you. But God wants you to do the same with your desires and your dreams. He wants you to say, God, I can't fulfill these. I can't put this on my spouse according to your word. But who can I put this on? Well, God says, humble yourself and cast your anxiety and everything you dream of onto me because I care for you. Simple pattern. You need to take your box now with all your desires and give it to God. You can wake up every morning, get before God and say, God, I have a dream to live in an awesome house one day. I'm going to leave that at the cross and leave it at your feet. Would you please come through for me? God, I have a desire to have all my clothes washed. I'm believing for it one day. That's Matt. God, I'm desiring to have a clean house. That's Graham. Anyway, but you can cast those things. But even as you bring it to God, you can ask guilt-free. Because God says, you can bring me all your anxiety, all your dreams, all your worries. You can come before me, cry out, guilt-free. Guilt-free. Bring it all. But even as you do it, as you bring your guilt-free desires and dreams, God's going to most probably say to you, that's unrealistic. These are realistic. You want the house? I can provide a house. But you wanted to marry a professional sportsman. Let's face it, your husband's not a professional sportsman. Stop asking for that. You can maybe go to your mom and say, you know, I really wanted to marry a professional sportsman. Your mom goes, oh, shame, get over it. But God's going to say, that's unrealistic. Take that out of your box. That's not realistic. That's not something I want to give you. And what happens is as you bring your box to God and as you bring all these desires to God, you end up not only laying them at your feet, you also take responsibility for some unrealistic dreams. Like Leanne said, some of your desires come out of pain. If you build on the foundation of pain, you build a house of pain. If you build on a foundation of regret, you build a house of regret. The house's material is built with what the foundation is. And if the foundation of your dream is pain and regret and hurt, that's not a great dream to have. Let it go. But if it's on health and God's desires for your life and God's plans and health you've seen in your parents, those are good dreams. Go for it. The next thing is you confess, you ask, and I believe God will reward you. God will come through for you. But what we need to do is simple. Acknowledge that you got a box. You don't have to hide your box, but you can ask a third party to be part of your relationship. Give the box to God. God cares about you. He can do the impossible. He can come through for you. But what you can do is actually bless your spouse. Just as we come to close, can I have the worship team up? We've put into practice, and we don't always get it right, but some of our date nights, we have a moment where we ask each other a question, and it's simply like this. Because you can also have these things. And one of the questions is this. I'll say, hey, babe, after our date night, babe, is there anything I've been doing that's really irritating you? But here's the thing. We've had a date night. We're having supper, It's normally we deal with what irritates us when we're super tired, we're trying to put children to sleep, trying to clean the house, and life is chaotic. And then you know what I think, Papa. You know, like, but you know when you do it over supper, I'm saying, guilt-free, tell me if there's anything I've been doing that's been making you unhappy. But then the same question, is there anything I've been doing that has been making you happy? Because all we're doing is, Leanne's telling me, carry on doing the good things and try to stop doing the things that irritate me. Because I'm saying that, and we ask each other the same questions. But this is what we also don't do in life. Because we expect stuff from people, like Leanne said, we aren't grateful, and we don't reward our spouse for the good things they do. And whatever gets rewarded gets repeated. But because you're living with the expectation, you never reward your spouse and they never repeat what you enjoy about them. So that's why there's a fresh gratitude. So all we're doing in that moment, and I'm not saying we always get it right, we need to do it more, is in that moment, the main thing I'm asking Leanne is, what do you want me to carry on doing? But the next thing for us that's even better is before we get to that moment, Leanne and I are learning and are challenged by the fact that we need to reward each other before. We need to say thank you, acknowledge, when you did that, I love that. Because what happens is, let's face it, whenever you're buying gifts for your spouse, you're on the listen, and she goes, Leanne goes, oh, that's great, or that's it. I'm going, back pocket, I'm going to buy that. But you know what I'm saying? I hear what Leanne likes, here's what I like. Same thing with rewarding. It gets repeated. Anything you want to... So, it's pretty simple, and we said it at the beginning, that you start with God. I said in the morning, what's amazing is, it says that we have the ability to overlook a transgression, and it's to our glory when we forgive. It gives us glory. But here's the thing, we only can overlook transgressions and forgive because we're made in the image of Christ. And we give Christ the greatest glory when we act like Him, and we're patient and we're kind and we forgive and we overlook transgressions. But that all starts with God. And before we leave here, if you want to add a third party into your marriage, or if you're a single person and you've never asked Jesus to be the leader of your life, or if you're a married couple and you've never asked Jesus to be the leader of your marriage and you've never personally invited Him into your life, you've never accepted the free gift of salvation, we don't want you to walk away and just listen to this good advice, because none of this good advice works without Jesus at the center of your life. It doesn't. None of this works because He's the only one that you can cast your cares upon. He's the only one who can give you the forgiveness you need to give to your spouse. He's the only one who can give you the patience you need to give to your spouse. He's the only one who can fulfill you so you can release your spouse to be themselves and not to try to be some picture you have in your head, or some dream you have in your heart that might be unrealistic. But you need to ask Jesus into your life. That's your first step. Out of any healthy relationship, your first step is starting with God. Tonight, if you've never started a relationship with God, or maybe you've drifted and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, to be the leader of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to take the first step in all healthy relationships, and especially for married couples or people who are single who want to have a healthy marriage one day. Do you want to close your eyes quickly? If you're here and you want to start a relationship with God, the first thing you need to do is acknowledge that you need Him. Of course, He is the Savior of the world. I am a sinner. As soon as you acknowledge that you're a sinner, you humble yourself and you open yourself up to a Savior. When Jesus paid the price for our sins, He paid the price for our sins in full on the cross. We acknowledge that He's the Son of God, that He died for us, that He came out the grave, that He conquered the grave. When we acknowledge that, we open ourselves up to receive the free gift of salvation. You can't earn salvation. You can't start with God by making your way to God, but you can start with God by accepting His forgiveness, the free gift of salvation. If you are here today, the way you receive salvation is by praying a prayer, a salvation prayer. By praying with me. And if you're saying, Andre, I want you to pray with me tonight. I want to come back to God, or I want to receive Jesus for the first time. If you're saying, Andre, I want to start with God. I want to put Him in the center of my life. I'm going to count to three and just put your hand up. Say, Andre, pray for me. One, God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son to die just for you. Two, tonight is the night of salvation. You have to wait one more night. You can receive salvation right now. Three, just put your hand up. If you're saying, Andre, pray for me. Awesome. Anyone else, just pop your hand up. Anyone else, say, Andre, just pray for me. Awesome. Over there, another one. Anyone else, just saying, Andre, pray for me. I want to respond to Jesus. I want to put him at the center of my life. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to receive the free gift of salvation. Thank you, man. Anyone else? Just put your hand up. People are responding tonight. If God, you feel God is touching your heart, you know that tonight is your night. Please do not walk away without responding to the gospel. Awesome. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else saying, that's me. Pray for me, Andre. Anyone else in this place? I don't want to leave this place without giving you an opportunity to respond to Jesus. Awesome. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Over here as well. Guys, I just, another gentleman just put his hand up. Guys, I just need the team to be aware. His hands going up everywhere. Anyone else? Another hand over there. Anyone else? Do we see over there? Great. Awesome. I'm going to pray a prayer. Can we pray as a church? Let's stand. Let's pray as a church. Let's stand. Just keep it. Let's stand in a worshipful place and let's pray this prayer together. Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and that you are the Savior. I believe you're the Son of God, that you paid the price of my sin. And you conquered the power of death when you came out of the grave. Today I want to say sorry for living for myself. I want to change my direction and I want to live for you. Today I receive the free gift of salvation. I confess that I'm changed. It's a new day and I'm a child of God and I'll never be the same. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's just thank Jesus in this place.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you'd like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.